Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to welcome you all to Running for Christ Ministries, to our Sunday school lesson. And we are a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing. And today we will pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Before we get started, let us talk to the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this awesome day. Thank you for each and every one that's listening and participating in this lesson. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence in our lives, Lord. Help us to realize that we need you on a daily basis and to come to you in the act of life. Thank you. In Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I will be reading out of the New Living Translation. And let's look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about our new bodies and eternal life and death. So verse 1 says, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body. We will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands." This is something that I look forward to personally. I don't know about you, but my body has limitations. I've been wearing glasses since I was in the third grade. When I get to heaven, I won't need glasses. I won't need to stretch. I won't need to have sinus meds or allergy pills. I won't need any of that, because it says, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands." We get this body once we leave this body, like it says, when we die and we leave this earthly body. I like how my uncle said it. We were at a funeral one day, and he said, "That's the suitcase, and the contents have gone on." And that's what our bodies, our physical bodies here, they house our spirit. Now, spirits are eternal. So as we get through, we got through chapter 4, as we look more into chapter 5, again, us as God's sons and daughters, as Christians, we need to exercise our hope in knowing that there's eternal life for us. But remember, I said spirits are eternal, so there's eternal death, which is hell, for your spiritual body, and there's eternal life for your spiritual body, which is heaven. Amen. And remember, this eternal body is made by God himself and not by human hands. Now, if we know that God is perfect and he doesn't fail, that means your body is perfect and it won't fail. The reason why our earthly bodies fail is because they're earthly. You know, now, yes, God formed each of us in the womb, but, you know, if you look around, and I've talked about this before, that dust in your house is not just dust that was collected randomly because you failed to clean. Those are dead skin cells because God made us from dust. And these dusty, ashy bodies are deteriorating daily because of earth. But our eternal bodies will not fail. They won't deteriorate. They won't know pain. They won't know weakness. I often joke that, you know, I was a track star back in the day. Y'all probably don't believe it, but I was pretty fast. And I said, I look forward to racing a cheetah, you know, when we get back on earth, when Christ rules on earth with us, and we rule with him, actually. I look forward to doing things that are supernatural, because when you think about a heavenly body, think about Christ's resurrected body, where he could appear and disappear on command, where he could, you know, he had a perfect body at that point that was supernatural. And I look forward to that. And we should share that, even with kids. Kids would love that idea. They would think that was really cool, that they would be their own superhero in glory. And we need to accept that and be good with that and use that for motivation to share with. Amen. Verse 2 says, we grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Again, this is something that I personally long for. I look forward to not having to wake up and roll over and grab my glasses so that I can see and won't knock stuff over. You know, I look forward to not having to stretch for a long time, you know, before I exercise. Because if I'm in the perfect body, I won't need exercise. You know, again, these bodies are deteriorating. So there are things that pop up. Some of us are sick, and some of us have things that are crippling, you know, and disabling. But we won't have that. And the matter is that spiritually we desire, even though a lot of us are afraid to pass on to glory through death in these earthly bodies, we long for that. And even in world religion, they long for a spiritual transformation from this life into another. That's why people believe what they believe in terms of religions. But we understand that our faith is true, that we serve the Almighty true God who has established heaven for us to come hang out with him forever. And then, you know, after the tribulation, and this isn't further study, you can read on your own, ask questions, that after the tribulation, the Lord's going to make a new earth. And Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and us who are saved and already raptured with him, we're going to come down and rule on earth for 1,000 years. It's a beautiful thing. So, again, that's something that you can look forward to. That's something that you can use as a motivation to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection. So we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. This is something that we really, really yearn for. Verse 3 says, for we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. A lot of religions, when the body dies, that's it for them. You know, that's what people believe in, you know, worldly religions. It says right here that we will not be spirits without bodies. Again, we're going to have heavenly bodies. We're going to have perfect bodies. And I know that some people struggle with that concept, but again, Jesus showed us, hey, this is what's to come. You know, it wasn't, and keep this in mind, because sometimes we read things and we don't believe because we think it's fantastic. But these are things that happen in real life. People saw Jesus walk the earth after he rose from the dead. People also see Jesus crucified. People also see Jesus placed in a tomb and wrapped in linen and spices. People saw that. Now, granted, you know, they're not, you know, I'm sure they aren't any people on the earth who are 2,000 years old plus, but historically people saw that. There's written record of Jesus' resurrection and his appearances before he left. So this is something that's real. This is something that's tangible. And then again, I always tell people to look around, you know, look at a baby being born, you know, look at, you know, a parent or a loved one that passed away and they're no longer here. They left their body here and they took off. And, you know, even in nature, you know, I used the birds and the trees and the clouds and just oxygen to explain to my youngest son that, hey, God is all around you. God is in you, you know. And I use that to explain to him so that he understands that it's real, that it's tangible, the Father that we serve that looks out for us. So we are going on with the new body. We won't be spirits without bodies. Amen. Amen. Verse 4 says, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Again, I don't know about you, but just for an example, if you stubbed your toe in this earthly body, which probably the good majority of us listening to this broadcast have done so, it hurts very badly, especially when you catch the corner of that coffee table in the living room on your way to the bathroom. I've done this several times in the house I grew up in, and neither one of those experiences were pleasant for me. And it's crazy because the table never moved, but my foot just always found it. And it hurt, you know. And I've had a headache before. I smashed my finger, crushed the bone and nerves in it, had that surgery. That hurt very bad. So, yes, I'm tired of being in a body that's decaying, you know. Am I in a rush to leave Earth? No, I actually enjoy my life. I actually enjoy the people that I'm surrounded by. I love them dearly, and I genuinely mean that. But, you know, I'm ready to try on my new body and put these glasses down, you know, and these earthly clothes. You know, I don't know if we'll be naked like Adam and Eve were in heaven, but I don't know. The Bible doesn't talk about that, but it does say that we'll have bodies. And I look forward to my brand new body. And again, we should think about this and consider that these are things that we could use to help pull people in to our family, the Christian family, and plant the seeds. Because it's the reality that we're going to leave these bodies. They can't pass over. All you have to do, if you don't believe me, is just go to the cemetery and look around. You don't see open graves. You see closed graves with physical bodily remains buried. Or you might look on your mantle and see a cremated remains of a loved one. That's just the reality. These bodies are dying every day. We long to put on our heavenly body. Amen. Amen. Verse 5 says, God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. Let me read that again. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. I thank God for his presence in my life in the form of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is that wise voice in your head. Some people will say, you know, my first man told me this. That first man is the Holy Spirit saying, hey, don't go over there and engage in that foolishness. But a lot of times we ignore that quiet, you know, but effective voice, and we go do it anyway. But I thank God for his presence inside of me, because once I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in on October 31st of 1987, and he set up shop. And every day, all day, he's just guiding me and trying to lead me in the right direction. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, well, this is false. This word that we're reading is true. What the Holy Spirit says about anything and everything is true. And if you don't believe me, just put them to the test in your own personal life. you know, there were times, and I shared this story before, I saw the White Castle sliders. They had 10 of them on sale for like $5.99 or whatever. And the Holy Spirit told me, hey, go get a tuna melt. Don't fool with that. What did I do? I found myself at White Castle's. And before I left the parking lot, I had eaten 5 of those 10 sliders. By the time I got back to my desk at work, my back was hurting and I felt sluggish and horrible. The Holy Spirit knew how I would feel trying to eat those 10 sliders. And I didn't listen and I ran straight into destruction for me. But the Holy Spirit will tell you and show you in the Word, hey, we're going to leave these earthly bodies. We want to put on our heavenly bodies. God guarantees this. And it says he has given us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's very presence residing inside of you. Once you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. Amen? Amen. So we don't have to question that. We know that to be true. And like I said, put him to the test. God is going to pass the test. Just put him about something that you're curious about, and he'll give you an answer. May not be when you want it, but he'll answer you, especially being his son or his daughter. Amen? Amen. Verse 6 says, so we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. So, again, remember I said Jesus, when he rose from the grave, he had a new body. Earthly, dying, decaying bodies can't inherit the kingdom in the physical. So they have to be left here because of their limitations, because they're physical, because they're dying. There's no dying in heaven. It's eternal life. So as long as we're in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. We know the Lord to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, we have God the Holy Spirit inside of us, but again, that's his spiritual presence. God is a spirit. These bodies, as long as we're in these bodies on earth, we can't pass to heaven. And it's just that simple. And, you know, if you don't believe me, it says it right here. We're not at home with the Lord. And, again, ask the Father, ask the Son, ask the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And verse 7 says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Again, when you believe something, it's internal. It's something that's tangible inside of you because you firmly believe it. You know, I don't argue with people that look up in the sky and say it's purple. And I'm like, you're colorblind. It's usually blue or gray. You know, you may be a hue of purple here or there, but when I look up in the sky, I see it to be blue. But I believe that too because for the 44 years of my life, I've looked up in the sky and it's usually been blue or gray. If it's purple, it's probably a hurricane or a thunderstorm or a tornado coming, more so a tornado, anything, but I don't want to see no purple sky. Most of the time I see it to be blue. But there are things that I believe, like since I was 10, I believe that Jesus died, he lived, he died, and he rose from the grave for me. I wasn't alive when Jesus was physically on earth, period. Before I was born, Jesus knew me. He knew that I would get saved when I was 10. But we've never met each other physically. I've never seen Jesus physically. We didn't grow up in River Rouge together. So I had to believe that. So when you look at verse 7 again, it says we live by believing and not by seeing. I believe that my mom went on to glory and that she's, you know, at home with Jesus. I believe that. I saw her physical remains remain here. but I know her spirit lives on and it moved on. I believe that. I didn't physically see her take off to heaven. I didn't. But I know she'll be there waiting for me to come on in and the other loved ones that I've known. But I believe that. I didn't physically see them take off to heaven. I didn't physically meet Jesus, but I believe in him. And I hope that you will. Amen. So next week, we're going to pick up at verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for what's to come. Lord, we yearn to be in our heavenly bodies, Lord, to be in perfect bodies that you made for us, specifically for us. Lord, help us to continue to believe in you and to listen to you and to remain loyal to you, Lord. And we look forward to our spending eternity with you. But in the meantime, Lord, help us to be about our mission so that more brothers and sisters can come on into the family so that they can inherit their eternal lives and their heavenly bodies. As we all kick it with you, thank you, Father, thank you, Son, thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jonathan, for that lesson. I like what you said, what your uncle said about the suitcase being packed. That was cool. What was it? Say it again. Say it again. I want to hear that. What did he say?
He said that the contents of the suitcase have moved on. That's just the suitcase. That's, you know, that's there at the funeral.
Okay. So,
that was the child's tape.
Right. Yeah, he always has something real deep to say. So that's cool. And it can be hilarious at the same time. But it
exactly.
Sure gives you a deeper thought and deeper thinking of it. Mm-hmm. Everything in the suitcase has moved on.
Yeah.
Unpacked.
Yeah. Right, the important stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's the point. The important stuff has moved on. That is cool. Okay. Well, you enjoy your day. I know that your mom has moved on. All the good stuff has moved on, and I know how deeply you loved her. You know, you always expressed it. And
yes, indeed.
And she gave you a lot of good stuff, especially all those good whoopings.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I always remember. I said, boy, he a good kid because he got plenty whoopings. They never, they don't hurt. They help you. They really do help you.
That's true. They hurt at the time, so I ain't going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm. They do, but they remind you. And
absolutely.
You know, kids want to be disciplined. They want to get a good whooping once in a while. That lets you know you really love them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so you're not in jail. You're doing some good things for the world. And, hey, it helped.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, you enjoy your day, and we can't wait to hear more next week.
You do the same.
Thank you.
All right.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. We are going to go right into our service. I just, you know, I'm going to take a moment and just wish all the mothers a happy, happy Mother's Day. And to all the mothers all around this beautiful world. Mothers, God made you special. So, take a moment and just give yourself a big, 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 big hug of thanksgiving to God. Okay? All right. We're going to go. So happy Mother's Day. Enjoy your day and know that you are loved and appreciated. Okay? We're going to go right into our service with a song, and then we'll come see you on the other side. All right. What a day to a way to start this beautiful morning. Glory, honor, and power. Praise his name. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministry Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Deaconess Lisa Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Yes, yes, yes. Blessing, blessing, blessing.
Yes. Take it away, Sister Deaconess.
All right now. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there. Blessing, blessing, blessing. You were chosen. God, thank you. I will be reading to you Romans 12, 1 through 13, a living sacrifice to God. That's Romans 12, 1 through the 13th verse. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as your bodies, our bodies, have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Tally. And may the Lord add a blessing to a readers, to the hearers, readers, and doers of his word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you, all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ, our Savior, be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank
amen.
You for that. You know, and you know I love that scripture. That's my very favorite scripture. Don't pretend to love others. Really love them. You know, that always sticks out to me. I love that part.
Yes, we are commanded. Yes, yes.
Yes, love it. I just hope that everybody love it too, and just take some out of that scripture and just take some out of it and just be about it.
Just do it.
Yeah. We thank you so much for opening up, helping us open up this morning with this scripture and prayer, and you just have the best day ever.
You too, honey.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Okay.
All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Did you get that part? My ever-present help. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to every mother. Amen. On the planet. And even y'all who had the mother and you didn't even have no children. But Jesus said, hey, I need you to go over here and mother some of these kids for me. Amen. It's an awesome thing that the Lord trusts you. Amen. And if the Lord gave them children to you, guess what? I don't care what you feel about yourself or who you think you are or what your inadequacies might make you think. God knows best. And you can shape up, stand up to the task. Amen. You can do it. Amen. Since all of our help comes from the Lord, that ought to motivate us. Wow, words is just messing up. Motivate us to make his praise glorious, right?
Come on, make a joyful noise in this house. Make a joyful noise. Come on, make a joyful noise.
Sing up the name of Jesus, and you hear the music play.
Well, okay, let's take a look at it then. We weren't created to be depressed. We weren't created to be stressed. We weren't created to be anxious at all. But we were created to be happy people. People are so happy that even if we're sitting in a Philippian jail, we can sing praises, glorious praises to the Lord our God, even at the midnight of our life. You know, some say Isaiah may have been related to King Uzziah. And under King Uzziah, he enjoyed a certain amount of security and protection from those who liked to kill the prophets. But then Uzziah died. Amen. You know what he said? He said, when King Uzziah died, then I saw the Lord. Amen. That was working through King Uzziah to bless me. But now I see the Lord without Uzziah. High and lifted up. Amen. I don't care what place you're in right now, or situation or circumstance, you need to, like Isaiah, amen, see the Lord. And see him above everything that you're suffering, everything that you're going through, everything that you might go through. See him high and lifted up above it all.
In this place.
ground, just like Mother Cheryl singing that song. High and lifted up, Lord, we magnify your name. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts truly have been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who could meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks' pray to the Lord. Amen.
I want.
Let us come together to the throne room of God in prayer. Good morning, Lord. Good morning. We, your people, come before you this morning, thanking you for being who you are, God. We thank you for the grace that you have lavished on us. Even though we were dead in our trespasses and sin, you pursued us. And through your son, Jesus, we can have eternal life with you, even right now. And even now, we get to run to your throne at any time. We can lay our burdens down, and you are so kind and compassionate toward us. You welcome us with loving arms. And we realize that if it had not been for Jesus, he laid down his life and raised it up again, we would be lost forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your obedience even to death on the cross. Father, right now, we are grateful for yet another Mother's Day in our nation. We thank you and acknowledge that you are the giver of life. And we are so grateful that you have given women an opportunity to participate in bringing forth life into this world. We thank you for all women whom you've called to motherhood, whether it be by conception or consent. During this season of life, we pray for mothers who are homeschooling and working at the same time. The expectations of work hasn't changed. Companies still want to make money. The kids still need to be taught. We know that you hear our cries, Lord, for help. We are reminded at times like this that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Lord, remember mothers who are raising children and must balance it all with being a wife. Lord, remember mothers who are trying to keep it all in place when having to leave their children and work during a pandemic. For mothers who have to raise children in the absence of a father, we pray for a mother's strength and endurance. We know that whether she is mothering with help in the home or doing it alone, it's never easy. And we are reminded that when we belong to you, we don't have to do anything alone. You are with us always, Jesus. Even in tumultuous times, we ask that you give us the ability to be loving and kind to our children, and that all children are gifts from you, God. Let us not forget that it is our responsibility to teach our children your ways. We pray that our children may grow in the Lord and be a loving demonstration of Christ for the next generation. Even though we live in times where sin is rampant everywhere, we pray that your children, Lord, will know the difference between good and evil and choose to be obedient to your word. Lord, we pray for those who are without a mother right now. We know that this time of year is always a reminder that they are a motherless child. For some, their mothers have passed away, and no matter how old a person is, it is never easy losing your mother. And they are reminded of their grief and the loss of their first relationship. We ask that you give them comfort at this time, for you are the God of comfort. Lord, we pray right now for that motherless child whose mother may have lost their way. Your word says that even when my mother and father abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Right now, we pray that they have comfort in knowing that they have everything that they need in you. And for mothers with adult children who are struggling with various issues in life, let them be reminded today that you hear our prayers. For we know that no one is perfect except you, God. Let us forgive one another, for Jesus, your love covered all sin. Let us not forget that. Lord, every day there's another catastrophic event taking place somewhere in this world. You told us that there will be times like this coming. During these times, we can be reminded that you promised us that you, Lord, will keep us in perfect peace. You, Lord, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. We, your people, trust in you even right now, for you are our eternal rock. We trust that you are God and everything that you do is good. Let your people glorify you by trusting in your word and walking in your ways. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let your people come forward to represent the kingdom of the King of Kings as you would have us in our home, in our communities, and in government. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.
Do you mind if I testify and tell you of the goodness of my Lord? Share some of what he's done for me, how he's opened up so many doors. You may look at me from the outside and think I got here on my own, but there's no way that you could ever know how much grace and mercy I've been shown. Oh, if you look into my eyes, you see life has tried to get the best of me. But I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason that I sing his name, Jesus. I know this, 'cause he died for me and he rescued me. There's no greater love in the world. His name is Jesus, yet he loves me. And I know this, 'cause he said it to me when he rescued me. There's no greater love in the world. There's so many things I want to tell you of how he made a way for me. If he hadn't loved me through the mistakes that I made, I just don't know where I would be. Oh, he showed me so much favor, and now I understand all of the pain, all of the shame. I realize there is nothing that could take your place. Oh, if you look into my eyes, you will see life has truly tried to get the best of me. But I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason.
no greater love, unconditional. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Amen. Love that song. Love that song. Thank you. Thank you, Deaconess Nicole, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have the best day ever. All right. I am truly having a great time this morning, and I hope you are too. As we continue, I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is the beautiful, spirited Sister Minister Janine Folks. Let's prepare to receive Minister Janine Folks coming her own way with the blessed word from the Lord. Amen.
In a world like today, it's a rare occasion to be able to see young mothers like the ones that were around when I grew up. But they live on in memory to quite a few of us. And this song is dedicated to those who cherish that memory. Early one Sunday morning, breakfast was on the table. There was no time to eat. She said to me, boy, hurry to Sunday school. Filled with a Lord of glory, we learned the holy story. She'll always have her dreams, despite the things this troubled world can bring. Don't you know we love you, sweet Sadie? Place no one above you, sweet Sadie.
Well, well, well.
Living in the past.
Sometimes it seems so funny, but no money will turn your life around. Sweeter than cotton candy. Stronger than Papa. Always that needed smile. Once in a while, she would break down and cry. Sometimes she'd be so happy being with us and Daddy, standing the worst of times, breaking the bind with just a simple song. Oh, Sadie Mae,
don't you know,
still loving us all in your special way. Well, well, well,
no one above you, sweet
Sadie, living in the past. Oh, she's never sinning, in love she's always winning. Yeah,
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. I almost want to call it Women's Day, but happy Mother's Day. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's such an honor to come before you and to stand behind the sacred desk, and I do not take it lightly, and I just ask for God's mercy and for his help as I go forward. Thank you, Pastor Overall. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for your inspiration and your words. I don't think you realize how much your voice, when you speak those words of encouragement like you did today, very comforting. And Lady O, thank you for your mothering spirit as you continue to care for us here at Running for Christ Ministries. Hello and greetings, Blog Talk Radio listeners, Running for Christ ministers, staff, deacons, members, family, and friends. Good morning. Good morning. Now, let us go to the scripture. Well, while you're going to the scripture, I'll pray. I'm going to be coming out of Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for a day of honor, to honor the women who care for us, who rear us. Lord, it's also a day that we ask for comfort, because as we honor mothers, for those whose mother is absent, Lord, there's also some sorrow. And just asking that you would heal hearts today as we continue to honor those who have made us who we are, who have taught us, who have fed us, picked us up, kept us, and they're the reason that we're still here along with you, Lord. And Lord, just bless the words of my mouth, Lord, and let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Lord, we thank you. Now, Exodus 2, and if you were with us last year, this might be familiar, because I actually came from the same passage last year. Exodus 3 through 9. So this might be a bit familiar. And while you're looking, one thing I can say about Mother's Day is that it brings out the text messages. There are people I only hear from once a year on Mother's Day, and I do appreciate it. And you know, to know that they're still alive, that they're still thinking of you, and that you hold a dear place in their hearts. It is nice to get text messages on Mother's Day. Even if it's only on Mother's Day, that's fine. So that may be a reminder to you. Don't forget to message the women in your life who mean something to you, who are important. Make sure they know. All right, verse 3 of Exodus 2. When she could no longer hide him, she took him a container made of bulrushes and daubed it with tar and pitch. She then put the child in it and set it in the reeds by the riverbank. Then his sister stood afar off so that she might know what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh, who came to wash herself at the river while her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the container among the reeds, she sent her maid, and she retrieved it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and he was crying, and she had compassion on him. And she said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Verse 7. Then his sister Miriam said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call for you a nursing woman of the Hebrew women so that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the young girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Now the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now today, I want to talk about co-mothering, or it takes a village. Teamwork makes the dream work. Taking on a mothering role and realizing that motherhood is a matter of the heart.
Now, last year I came from the same passage, but at that time I focused on Jochebed and her role in changing the nation through her motherhood. Now, last year we talked about setting a child up for success, lessons from Jochebed. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. We talked about the birth of a child, grasping the gravity of that birth. When he was born in a time where male Hebrew children were perceived as a threat to the powers that be, so he was endangered, and a bounty had already been put out on him before he was even born just because of his gender and nationality. And we talked about what a mom sees, how Jochebed saw the calling on Moses, and she knew that he was special. We talked about how the mother became a protector, how she discerned the times and even the timing of what she had to do in order to rescue him, how she was skillful with her hands and how she utilized her leadership abilities, and then how favored she was and how the hand of God was on Moses' life from the very beginning and how he orchestrated that chain of events. Now, this year, I do want to shift the focus. This year, let's take a broader look. Now, I see a whole nother picture here. And isn't it amazing how the same passage can produce different perspectives when you read it again from a different worldview, from a different mindset? Now, what I see here, there's some teamwork happening here. There is some co-mothering going on, synergies, in syncness. Like doing a team power play. In this passage, it's the teamwork for me. It takes a village. Now, you could be the most amazing mother that ever lived, but every mother can use some help. Every mother, whether she realizes it or not, or whether she says it or not, would be so relieved to have a good support system. And sadly, not every mother has the benefit of a support system for whatever reason, but here, we see a support system at work. Each one has a very important role. They're like the three-legged stool, Jochebed, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter. Any one of them was absent, Moses would not have escaped the danger that he faced at that time. Now let's take a look at the dynamics of this dream team. Number one, you have Jochebed. Now, she set the stage for the maneuver. She got the ball rolling. Her courage, her faith, her creativity, her audacity, her ingenuity, and notice the attributes that she embodies. We should be repeating them. Creative, with faith, courage, these are things we should emulate. So Jochebed got things set in motion. And then number two, we have Miriam, Jochebed's daughter. She's just a girl. Now, the historian Josephus figures that Miriam was probably around 10 or 12 years old at the time of this incident, just a young girl. But she's smart. She follows directives precisely. She is diligent. She follows through and follows up. When Pharaoh's daughter notices Moses in the basket, Miriam approached her. She's brave. Someone has been a great teacher and example to Miriam, very likely her mother. She had been with her mother all her life, and her mother knew her well. Her mother also knew that she could trust her with this serious task. How many adults would trust a child at age 10 to 12 with the life of an infant? Miriam's youth reminds me of 1 Timothy 4:12, where it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but set an example for believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity." I'm going to insert a sidebar here real quick. And a lot of older people, none of us, but there are some older people who act like they don't like children. And I think it's because they really don't have patience with them. No one wants to be bothered and take the time to help them and teach them. I get it. I know it can be frustrating, but we cannot give up on our young people. They need us, and we need them. And it's amazing how they may step up when we give them responsibility once we've prepared them. Now, I imagine that Miriam had demonstrated through her actions and behaviors that she could be trusted with this crucial assignment. Jochebed studied Miriam all her life and felt that she was prepared for this. And I'm sure that before you decide to trust someone, that you vet them and you study them for a while, you observe whether they are trustworthy for a task. And when you feel satisfied with their credibility, then you go ahead and trust them once they've proven themselves. But then also, you could find yourself in a situation where you have to extend a blind trust. When you are in a pinch and you don't have the time or the luxury of vetting a person that you have to trust. And that leads to the third leg of the stool, Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Jochebed and Miriam didn't know this young lady from anybody. Now, Josephus, the historian, said that it is most likely that Pharaoh's daughter's name was Suorus, the daughter of Ramses II. Possibly. Now, in the book of Acts, she's referred to in Acts 7:21. It says, when he was set outside, and they're referring to Moses, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Now, Jochebed had no way of knowing ahead of time whether she could trust Pharaoh's daughter with her child. She was in a bind, and she had to go with blind trust. And sometimes we run into these situations where we have to look up to heaven when we have to extend trust to people we know nothing about. Oh, and that is my prayer, that whenever, whoever you give trust to, that they do not fail you. And even if they do fail you, praise God, because God never fails. So a stranger is thrown into the mix and becomes a part of the team. Now, this is divine, and we have to know that sometimes God will use strangers like he used Pharaoh's daughter. He will place the most unlikely people in your path to help you accomplish an end. If anything, they should have feared this woman getting a hold of Moses, Jochebed and Miriam, because after all, she was the daughter of the man who put out an edict to kill all the newborns. So who is she going to be loyal to, her father or this little girl Miriam that she didn't know? How many of you know personally that God can sometimes and will use your enemies to bless your team? And Proverbs 16:7 tells us, when people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with him. Isn't the Lord amazing how he orchestrates and coordinates events to work out for us, people in place, and he touches their hearts? God put these three ladies together who are so different from each other, and he made them a team. It takes all kinds. It takes different kinds. Diversity adds value, and this is an example of it. Now, mothering is not just biological. Even though biologically women give bodies to souls, taking care of a child is a spiritual act. It's a heart function. It is love motivated. Now, mothering is the activity of bringing up a child as a mother. It relates to the characteristics of a mother, especially in being caring, protective, and kind. Now, mothering can be done by biological mothers as well as stepmoms, aunties, grandmothers, babysitters, sisters, teachers, counselors, nurses, ministers, neighbors, friends, mothers, cousins, friends of the family, and even strangers who take a special interest in the well-being of a child, one who nurtures, imparts, guides, and pours into. They are all a part of the team that God puts together to help us. When biological moms are absent or unable to mother, so many reasons, they may be incapacitated, incarcerated, suffering an illness or debilitated, death, busy, lacking mental capacity, or whatever the reason is, we need communities of women who can step up and fill in mothering roles or even supplement in the mothering role. Any woman who takes on a child in need, any woman who participates in the rearing, shaping, and supporting the raising of a child is a part of the team. It takes a village. All of Jochebed's work would be in vain if Miriam and Pharaoh's daughter had not done their parts. This is an example of it takes a village. I remember a year and a half ago when my sister-in-law passed, and so many people stepped up and stepped in to help. And I remember when a lot of her friends came to be supportive, to support her children and her family. And I remember thanking one of her friends, and it just sticks out to me where she told me, thanks isn't necessary, it takes a village. And she reminded me that it takes a village, and it's going to take all of us to support each other in order to get through this. Now, most of us who have raised children did not do it alone. Even if you're a single parent, there are friends, family, daycare centers, teachers, sitters, latchkey programs, and more that helped us through mothering while doing important things outside the home. In our culture currently, working moms have become the norm. And recently, President Biden got some pushback for including childcare in his infrastructure bill. Childcare is infrastructure. It's the backbone of society that allows mothers to go out and be productive. Childcare is essential. Working motherhood used to be highly frowned upon, but now we know working motherhood is not new. There have always been women who worked outside the home out of necessity, gifting, and calling. The woman described in Proverbs 31, for example, she sold profitable merchandise, and she was involved in real estate and commerce. And then her children still rose up and called her blessed, and she was a blessing to her husband. So we know that sometimes mothers are required to work outside of the home, and it takes a village in order for that to work. We need each other. Life is so much easier when you have help. And our help does come from the Lord, and the Lord will place people in our lives to help us. We just have to try to get along with them. And I believe that is why Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible on your part, live at peace with everyone. And sometimes we let solvable differences get between our needs and our help. And let's pray about that. Now there's mentoring. Being the role model. Now, here are a few ways that we can do our part to be part of the team, to be part of the village, to help mothers. This is a way the village can function. If there is someone you can mentor, do it. This is our contribution and gift to society. This is how we bless mankind. When we pour into a child, whether it is our biological child or not, that child will take and multiply what we gave him or her. When we bless one, the return on that blessing is exponential. If we stop to think about it in terms of numbers, it is awe-inspiring. And this is what I call a legacy project. This is how you create legacy. This is how you become immortal, because pieces of you will continue to permeate the earth long after you're gone. Because you mentored a child, because you poured into a child, because you planted seeds into a child. It takes a village. Foster moms. I met a woman who was a career fosterer. And I'm not saying everybody needs to do this. Not everyone is called to this. But there's something we can learn from those who are. Now, this woman spent years taking care of foster children temporarily. And she told me one day, you want to feel blessed? To a child, be a blessing to a child. Now, even though I knew fostering children was not my calling, as I had my hands full with my own plus my work, it affected me and it changed my perspective. It made me realize how important it is to impact children, whether they belong to you or not. It was a reminder that selflessness is important and that it is more blessed to give than to receive. That made that concept real to me, and it reminded me that it takes a village. Teachers and counselors, teaching assistants, parapros, educators, daycare workers are all a part of a very necessary community of mothering. Some days I drop off my granddaughter at daycare, And I tell you, every time I do, I just want to give everyone there a hug and thank them profusely. And yes, sometimes I do drop my granddaughter off at daycare. And when my daughter has to be at work prior to the daycare opening, out of convenience, to take some stress off of her, I'll drop the baby off for her so that she won't be late for work. Now, I have an opinionated friend who has scolded me, telling me that I should let my daughter or my granddaughter's mother handle it herself because that's her responsibility. And she needs to figure out how to make it work. And I scratch my head. No, I'm supporting my daughter. And if I'm in a position to help her, that's what I'm going to do, because it takes a village. Remember, I had help raising mine, so why would I turn my back on my own? I want to be part of the village and help her to make her dreams possible. I thank God my mother was able to help me sometimes, and I understand teacher responsibility. My daughter is demonstrating responsibility by working during the pandemic as a frontline worker, when she might even make more money sitting at home collecting unemployment and government assistance. So I don't need to be reminded about responsibility. She's responsible, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't help her if I can. She's that and some, and I will never understand the mentality of how people refuse to support others just to prove a point. We all need help at some point in life. Now go ahead and get elderly. God forbid you'll require assistance one day. If everyone had that fend for yourself mentality, no one would feel supported. So I gladly help my daughter when I'm able. Some days I cannot, and she understands that. But when life can be made easier for her through something I can do, I'll do it. Plus, it gives me extra bonding time with my granddaughter, and we both win. Now, what if Miriam had given Jacobus some pushback and said, hey, he's your baby, you watch him, you make sure he gets across the Nile? Or what if Pharaoh's daughter had turned the other way, deciding that this baby was not her problem, a village? And we have to remember that. The daycare that my granddaughter goes to, is where my firstborn went, and she turned out pretty well, so they've been a blessing to my family for many years, and they are extremely important. My granddaughter spends as much time, if not more, of her waking hours with them than she does with her mom or me, and that's some heavy influence. Daycare workers are essential to our way of life. And to be able to work outside of the home, doing what we call to do, I don't take for granted their importance in the world. They shape our future, and everything we do impacts so many essential moving parts. It takes a village. Now, passing on legacy, talents, and gifts. You have something that someone needs. You have a gift that you need to share. You have a mantle that you need to pass to someone. And I'm going to insert myself again and make a confession. Now, for years, I avoided doing extra teaching or mentoring, and specifically where roller skating comes in, because that's something I've done all my life and that I enjoy doing. And it had been on my heart and mind for many years to get girls together and teach them to skate and also teach them life lessons. But with three of my own children at the time, I didn't feel like I even spent enough time with, I never made time to mentor or pass on my skating skills directly to other children other than my own or those in my family. I had school, I had work, I had meetings, classes, entrepreneurial pursuits, and more. I didn't have time. I didn't make the time, and I didn't rearrange my life to accommodate mentoring. I was spent. I was actually overdrawn many days. But now that I'm older, now that my children are adults, and I'm no longer participating in the corporate rat race, I still work, but I'm not chasing dreams. I'm just, I guess I could say, chilling. I'm just living. I'm not seeking promotions or advancements in the workplace. I no longer go above and beyond at work. I am free. And whatever extra I do is by my own choice, not under pressure. So now, finally, I am teaching skate lessons 2 to 3 times per week. It's something I always wanted to do, and I finally got around to doing it, and I thank God for gracing me to be able to do that at this time in my life. My children are no longer interested in skating, so I help other people's children. And sometimes you have to impart to whoever has the desire to learn. Sometimes we pass our mantles on to others who are in the bloodline, some who are not. Motherhood transcends the bloodline. Now, skating is changing, and I feel like teaching is one way for me to keep the Detroit-style skating somewhat alive. So I'm glad to be able to leave that as part of my legacy by passing it on to the younger generation. Even though I don't like their music so much, I have to get past that. And sometimes we have to get past the generational gaps, the culture differences, and still impart into these children. And that's something that I've had to overcome, to still love them. God loves these children regardless of the style of music. God still wants them in his kingdom. So we still have to find ways to reach out to them, to touch them, to introduce them to Jesus. Now, there are some things that should not die with you, some talents and gifts, whether it's those recipes that you haven't shared, your cooking skills, your ability to sew. There's something that you know that you need to leave for the next generation. And whether it's you leave it to your biological child or someone else's child, you need to leave that with somebody's child. There are some things that we must take time for, even if that means rearranging your schedule so that you can impart your gift to someone. Prepare someone to pass your baton to. And that is a form of mothering. When we take in someone and we nurture them and we teach them, we show them a skill or a talent, impart our gift, that is what we must do because it takes a village. The village mentality is not popular in our culture anymore. There is so much distrust among us now. There's been a history of abuse of power in this area. So parents being protective, which I do understand, prohibits other adults from disciplining their children. And when I say disciplining, I don't mean spanking. I mean beating them verbally or redirecting them and showing them the right way. And while this may be a protective act, it also results, and when I say by means of protective act, like some parents not allowing other adults to impact their children, they're doing it, but it's causing children to miss out on gleaning wisdom that can change their lives because parents are just so afraid that you're going to teach them something bad and not good, and so they don't know who to trust. So it's a double-edged sword. And which side do we err on? That's where the confusion comes in because so many people out in the world do pose a danger to our children. We have to constantly be in a state of discerning who is who. And consequently, children are no longer accustomed to listening to or respecting other adults because they've been inadvertently taught that they don't have to. So when they're out, they don't want to listen to direction from anyone. And so I pray that we can correct this, that even our children will know and be able to discern the voice of the Lord so that they can be directed and redirected and taught and nurtured. Now, before I wrap up, I want to just revisit the scripture precept by precept. Miriam stood watch. When Miriam stood afar off so that she might know what would happen to Moses. Now, although her assignment may have seemed insignificant at the time, Miriam was faithful to her task. And we also have to remember that Miriam was young and Jochebed had her prepared and she had good mentors and examples before her so that when it was time for her to do what she needed to do, she did it well. Now, we have Miriam doing her protective work in the role of a babysitter. Then we have Pharaoh's daughter who catches the pass. Now, these two ladies who have not given biological birth to Moses, they play a major role in getting Moses where he needs to be. And I'm pointing this out because I think we often overlook the importance of women who step in and assist. Now, Miriam had a very significant babysitting role as the elder sister of Moses. Without her, the story would be different. She's one of the moving parts to Moses' journey to his destiny. And without her peace, the outcome could have been disastrous. So we know that Miriam's mother was desperate to spare Moses' life by any means necessary. She made the ark, put it in the Nile River. Miriam watched it, and it just so happens Pharaoh's daughter was coming out to take a bath at that time. And in verse 5, we see that that Pharaoh's daughter was taking a bath. This was something she routinely did. She was minding her own business. She did not wake up that morning thinking, I'm going to adopt a child today. Totally out of nowhere, this baby rolls up. She sees it crying, and she has compassion on it. Now, all of a sudden, she's taking on the role of a mother. Now, how many times have things presented themselves to you out of nowhere? Assignments. So we have to be careful to watch for those assignments because they come out of nowhere. This was totally unexpected for Pharaoh's daughter to come across the baby. But she made a huge life decision that day to become this child's mother, to care for him and to take him in and raise him as her own. And that's a big decision to make just in a few seconds. And that's the way it played out. Now, Pharaoh's daughter, she was a grown woman, and as I mentioned before, I believe her name was Thouars. Now, she was married, but this is kind of weird. From what I've studied, she was married too, but it was an infant. It was a political arrangement, and she effectively ruled the region until the death of her brother, Amenophis. Sorry for mispronouncing. Then she became the regent over all of Egypt. Now, this would explain how she was able to set aside her father's edict, requiring the death of a newborn Hebrew male, even in full view of her attendants. So there were witnesses there. The attendants were there. She wasn't worried about one of them telling on her that, oh, she let the Hebrew boy live. Nobody said anything. It also suggests a powerful reason why she would be motivated to adopt the infant, for her marriage afforded her no prospect of a legitimate heir son of her own. So it worked out for her. She needed a son at that time, and she wasn't in a position to have one, so she took Moses in. So it worked out for everyone, and she had compassion on this baby. And compassion comes from God. Compassion is defined as a sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortune of others. And compassion is something we all need to carry, but we know that there are some people who don't. Now, the opposite of compassion is heartlessness and indifference. And unfortunately, we see a lot of heartlessness in the world today, but we can't give up. God can touch hearts, and I just believe in compassion, and we should all show compassion to each other. Now, here's another significant thing in verse 7. Miriam, this 10 to 12-year-old girl who is so smart and so brave, when she saw that Pharaoh's daughter picked up Moses, she walked over there, which was a very courageous thing to do. Now, when she made a suggestion. She said, shall I go and call for you a nursing woman of the Hebrew women so that she may nurse the child for you? Now, this was a brilliant idea on her part. And then not only did Pharaoh's daughter agree to it, she said, well, you go find me someone to nurse him. And so, of course, Miriam went and got her mother to do it. So you could not have planned a better arrangement. So I don't know what prompted Miriam to say this, and I know it was God, the Holy Spirit, and sometimes he would just put words in your mouth so that you'll say the right things and ask the right questions so that things can go the way they need to go. So she put it out there that she could find someone, get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby, and she went with it. And that was the way it went. So she, in verse 8, it said she told Miriam to go. So Miriam went and got her mother, and then her mother nursed Pharaoh. And that was in verse 9. Verse 10, the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called him Moses. She raised Moses as her own with full privileges as if he were her biological son. And I just believe that God will supernaturally expand our capacity in every way when we open our hearts to take in a child. I believe the provision will come. The energy for it will come. The resources will come. The money, the time, the space, whatever you need. God is a provider in every sense. My daddy taught me when I was a young adult that God takes care of children. He told me it doesn't matter how many children you have. God will provide. I said something to the effect that I only wanted one child because it would be too expensive. Now, he came from a time where there were large families, and he saw firsthand the supernatural provision of God in households. And I believe whether you expand your family biologically or you take in a child who needs you, God will open up the universe to provide. I've seen it, and when I first learned that my granddaughter was coming, I remember my first thought was, how are we going to afford this and that? But now, talk about overflow. This child has so much, and talk about a cup overflowing. It's just amazing, and it blows my mind how God has provided, because God loves life. He came that we might have life, and he's definitely going to provide for it. Now, this whole story with Moses reminds me that we need to trust God in where he has placed us and where he has not placed us. Now, I want to leave you with this. It takes a village, so we should be the village. Support the village. Let the village help you. The village is our gift. The village is an extension of God's grace. More teamwork. We need each other. Like Barak needed Deborah, and she teamed up with him in Judges 4. Like Caleb and Joshua, like Paul and Timothy, like David and Jonathan, we need each other because it takes a village. And ladies, mothers, live in love. There is no competition here. We honor each other. We lift each other. We help each other when we're able. Like the paralytic in Luke 5, whose friends carried him on a mat. After not finding a way in, they went above and beyond, carrying him to the rooftop and then lowering him so he could be healed. When you're down, they step up. The village steps up. And Ecclesiastes 4:9 reminds us that two is better than one. Proverbs 27:17 reminds us iron sharpens iron. So we need each other. Teams have checks and balances. And one person watches another's back. And like Lisa shared with us earlier, that there are many parts in one body, and we all have a part to play. In 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister that same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And Ephesians 4:32 reminds us, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And we ought to therefore receive such that we might be fellow helpers in the truth, 3 John 1:8. And then Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And finally, Romans 15:5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. Now, before he left us to heaven, Jesus said he would not leave us comfortless, that he would send us a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works in so many ways. And I believe he works through mothering. God works through the village dwellers because it takes a village. Jesus died to save us, and he continues to save us through the village. He uses people. Now, today I do want to honor you, mothers. I honor you, I salute you, and I thank God for you. And for the mothers who step in to support, I honor you. And for those who are missing their mothers, I pray for your comfort and for your strength and the fact that you have kept going, even through unimaginable pain and emptiness, you are still standing. You personify that God's grace is sufficient. Lord, we thank you for our mothers, past, present, and future. Remember the village. Lord, keep us always. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Once again, you got me all stirred up, and Jesus said, just calm down and don't start preaching. I don't know how you'll be fussing at me. He had you hype me up like that. Then he's going to tell me to calm down, don't be preaching. But I'm going to preach a little bit. Hey, man, you know, Jesus had to, he learned early on growing up in Nazareth, you know, they really believed in that communal style living. And so they really operated as a village. And then when Jesus got a little older and his father passed away, he had four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and he had a number of sisters, several sisters. And when his father passed away, he had to help his mother in mothering all those children because Mary had just suddenly become a single mother. And then again, when Jesus was on the cross, talking about believing in the village, he looked at John and he said, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. He was always doing exactly what you just preached. He was always playing a part. And that advertising displays for us, that's God's glory, to do the same thing. Amen. 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 Praise God. Janine, thank you for allowing the Lord to use you and to just say it the way he wants you to say it and making it so plain. You know, you remind me of Joel Osteen. Everybody say he too soft and he's always so encouraging and inspiring. But to reach the heights that he's talking about, you're going to have some real Christian faith to get there. Amen. So anyway, I'm kind of hyped up. So I'm going to play this song and then we're going to bring you back after Crystal for some closing words. Amen. You know, it never ceases to amaze me what God can and will do and how the Lord encourages us to be one. Jesus prayed over in John chapter 17. He said, Father, amen, I'm not just talking to those who are right here under my voice, but I'm praying for those who are going to believe in me according to their words. You know what Jesus prayed? That we would become one. Not one like in the world, but one like the oneness he shares with his Father and the Holy Spirit. He has invited us into that fellowship. Amen. And guess what the Holy Spirit is going to do? He's going to work through you to help mother, somebody else. Amen. Now I'm going to play this song. It's about mothers. And there's one word in it, hell. But the word is used in a proper context because all of us sometime go through the devil stuff. Hell. Amen. But don't beat me up too bad. God bless. See you on the other side.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was the fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day, running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love.
I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. And dear mama,
please, no one above you.
You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce. Cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me. And all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama,
amen, amen. I don't even have to say who that is, right? And y'all ain't going to beat me up too bad, are you? Amen. I'm trying to find, oh, there she is. She done popped up here. Hey, man, Crystal, give us some announcements. I ain't going to even get started because I know we get the praise partying, amen.
Yes, we're not.
You know, we just got
that
16
song.
Bars.
Oh, Lord, let me tell you something. That song, like you said, you ain't got to say who it is. And those of us who know, we've been around even a short amount of time, know who that is. And that song was really surprising. I'm actually glad that it wasn't Boys to Men, a song for Mama, because that song always makes me cry. Even though it's like 25 years old, it always makes me cry. So that song that you just played was absolutely perfect.
I started to.
Oh,
but that
I'm
would
so
have
glad
been
you
too
did not.
Much,
that would have been too much. Too much. I'd be over here nodding and crabby like, you know what? Y'all play another song. Y'all play another song. Open my mic for 5 minutes. But, yeah, it was perfect. That was an excellent way. I don't even know how you're going to close the show now. Like, what can you play that tops the song?
I know.
I don't know what you're going
to
play.
I don't even know how you follow that.
Yeah, how do you follow that? That was perfect. Janine's message was absolutely amazing. The way that she brings the message forward, that's one of the things that I love about Blog Talk Radio. Every single preacher, minister that comes on and gives us a word from the Lord has their own way of delivering the message. And, you know, like you say about Joel Osteen, a lot of people have issues with the way that Joel Osteen presents the word because we're expecting someone to beat us over the head with the word of God. But if you beat anybody over the head with anything, the one thing that you're not going to get is, you know, obedience or willingness or submission. You're going to get, you know, they're going to be defensive and they're going to be, you know, not willing to receive what you're saying. And so I tell my son all the time, and I tell even grown folks all the time, it's not what you say to people, but it's how you say it that allows them to receive what's being said and opens up, you know, people's hearts. And so, you know, when we talk about Pharaoh back in the day, you know, his heart was hardened a lot of times, and the Lord allowed that to happen, but it's because he just didn't want to be willing to hear what the Lord was saying. And it's like, you know, don't allow the Lord to harden your heart for things. You have to be open and you have to be receptive. And listening to Janine preach and bring, you know, the word forth the way that she does, she's a very gentle spirit anyway. I can't even really imagine her yelling at her kids, let alone anybody else. So, you know, just the way that she brings the word forth, you know, is not damaging to anyone. And it makes people want to sit and listen and to be receptive. And so I love how everyone who brings the word to us, you know, we get fussed at sometimes, and other times we just have that gentle nudging and reminder of what we need. And today that's what we got. She gently reminded us that it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise children. And in today's day and time, we don't really have a lot of villages. That generational gap that we have is kind of, you know, closed up, and parents and children are tend to be a little bit closer in age. But when that happens, you don't get the wisdom and the knowledge that you will get from someone who is older in the village. And so it really does take multiple people to raise wonderful, you know, children and for them to grow up to be wonderful people. And so, you know, we all have a place, like that song that you play all the time. There is a place for me in the body of Christ, and you know, I belong here, and we're all here for a purpose. And if that's to step in and to motherless children, or, you know, no matter how old they are, everybody needs somebody, and we were created to be in relationship and fellowship with one another. And Janine just so eloquently and beautifully brought that message to us for Mother's Day, and I loved it. It was amazing.
Amen. I mean, it's just plain and it's just clear, you know, and you can get that. And then, you know, hurry what you're saying about that gentle, quiet spirit. Yeah, it's there. But one time Jesus told me, he said, don't get it twisted. He said, she will turn Deborah on you and chase you down then turn Jael on you and put a stake through your head.
Yeah.
All in
the
name of Jesus.
No, in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you.
Say, humble
as
Esther.
She's beautiful. Yeah. So we know how she can get down, but, you know, it's just, we hear, you know, her bring the word. It's so beautiful, and she's very calm. Like I said, we said she's at, you know, Psalm 23, playing in the grass, laying by the river, just floating around in the dandelions. That's Janine. And every time we get the message from her, that's what I hear and that's what I feel. So today's message was absolutely beautiful. And I don't think we could have asked for anything more from her. I don't know if she ever stresses about bringing a message. I don't know, but you would never know. So it's very encouraging. And it's just beautiful to always hear her voice. I'm going to do these announcements so she can come back on and give us some closing words while you find us a song that you're going to close with, because I don't know how you can top what you just
That's
played.
That's what I'm doing
so,
right now.
Yeah, you figure that out. I'll do these announcements. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday and happy Mother's Day to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, old and new, who tuned in this morning to our Sunday morning worship service. We were so happy to have you here. We always want to thank and acknowledge all of our pastors at Run for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Terrence, Pastor Janine, Minister John McFall. We're so grateful for all of you for being a part of Run for Christ Ministries and just giving us your all. And because we're on Blog Talk Radio, everybody else who tunes into these services gets your all as well. So Romans chapter 10. Verses 14 through 15 says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And so we thank you, Pastor Janine, for being that messenger of good news today, teaching and preaching the word of God to us, not just at Run for Christ Ministries, but because of the Blog Talk Radio platform, people all over the world who need to hear the word of God are able to do so. Amen. Amen. So just a couple of reminders. Our Bible reading class is held on Wednesdays here at 6 p.m. Deacon Oliver Welch is back on the scene teaching in First Chronicles chapters 1 through 6. The questions have been emailed. They are available online on our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes for you to access. Amen. Every Tuesday, excuse me, at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio. He's got his own hour teaching and preaching in his series Training Day. Set yourself a reminder each week to tune in at 4 p.m. every Tuesday to hear Training Day. Amen. Amen. Don't forget that the fourth Wednesday of every month, from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. from now until November, First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, along with Pastor Owen, anyone else who wants to join in will be out at the bus stop in front of Run for Christ Ministries, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles, lunches, having conversations of encouragement, et cetera. So if you are able to make it out every fourth Wednesday of the month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., please do so. Amen? Amen. Also, as a reminder, most should already know that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. So just visit the church website again, rfcm.org. Click on the Blog Talk Radio tab. Pastor said yesterday, 1,200 or more classes already on their classes and services available again to you all for free 24/7, 365. Amen. So get them, listen to them, download them, and make sure to share them with others. Amen. Amen. If you want to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to pay any tithes or give any additional offerings, rfcm.org obviously is the place to be. You'll find all the info you need there to do what you need to do. We want to thank everyone, as always, that faithfully gives to Run for Christ Ministries, even though we're not physically present in the building. And because of your continuous support, of course, you all know that we've already made our first installment to all of the outreach ministries that we support, Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Fruit Living Ministries. Praise God, amen. We know that these ministries help people all year long in all types of different capacities. And so we say God bless you, excuse me. We praise God for you and we thank you for all of your support. So for more info on our outreach, of course, go to rfcm.org and all the info you need will be there. Amen. In addition to this information, if you would like to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, which was Pastor Janine, please send your love offerings to her via her Cash App. So we got some new info here. So her Cash App is Janine, J-A-N-I-N-E, Folks, F as in Frank, O-L-K, S as in Sam. That's her Cash App. Or via her PayPal at www.paypal.me/starbios. S as in Sam, T as in Tom, A-R, B as in boy, I-O, S as in Sam. Amen. I know that was a lot of info, so the info is also listed on our church website, rfcm.org. Just use the tithes and offerings tab, and if you scroll down, it will have preacher offering info there in case you didn't get it when I called it off. Amen? Amen. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God in your own way, the personality that he gave you. Amen. And it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. So John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Now, we have been commanded to see God's help and God's hand in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for each one of us. Amen? Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we ask that you pray for all those who are sick, shut in, one another, of course yourself, our children, my children, they children, y'all's children, our nation, our world, our leaders, everyone who has, you know, been keeping this world afloat, minus the hand of God, short of the hand of God, I should say, with, you know, being essential workers and food delivery drivers and grocery store employees and all of that stuff. We thank you so much for doing what you've done. We keep you in prayer because this pandemic has not yet ended. So thank you. Of course, the many missing and exploited who are being trafficked and abused. Of course, don't forget to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and their service to the Lord. Special prayers go out to all of our mothers that run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Also keep lifted up in your special prayers, Tyrone Hamilton and Pastor John McFall. Amen. Amen. So pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which today is your household, Judea, which today is your community, Samaria, which today is outside your comfort zone, to someplace where you wouldn't normally go, and to the ends of the earth." And those are places where you never thought you'd go, that you didn't even think existed. Well, we know that people there need the word of God too, and it is our job to spread the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Amen? Amen. So 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, "Samuel said, which does the Lord prefer? Obedience or offerings and sacrifices? It is better to obey him than to sacrifice the best sheep to him." Now, we all know it was sheep, literal sheep, back in the day. But what is it in today's day and time that you offer up to God in place of your obedience to him? Is it your job? Is it your family, your kids, status in the community, social life, social media, money, wealth, what is it? Whatever it is, that's your sheep in today's day and time. So if God asks you to plant a seed, then be obedient and plant it. If he asks you to water a seed, then be obedient and water it. Whatever you have to give up to do what God asks, there's nothing in comparison to the blessings that you will receive by being obedient to him. Amen? Amen. So Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "But let us not mourn as those who have no hope." Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." So when you are sad or heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you the strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give you. And so with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting, especially on today, which is Mother's Day. Keep them in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Amen. We do have a bereavement announcement. We are sorry to announce the passing of Sheila Overall's aunt, Lucille Smith. There will be a strolling walkthrough at OH Pie Funeral Home on this Wednesday, May the 12th, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. That's this Wednesday, May 12th, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at OH Pie Funeral Home. And due to COVID, there is a limit on family of 25 people for the funeral service itself. However, there will be a live streaming of the service on this Thursday, May the 13th at 12 noon. Just go to the OH Pie Funeral Home website and you'll be able to participate in the services, streaming the service at 12 noon on Thursday, May the 13th. Amen. So please keep Sheila, Pastor O, and their family in your thoughts and prayers. Amen. Amen. So we're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Blessings, as we know, are not always in the form of money or things. While we love those, but a smile or a kind word goes a long way, and the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a ray of light to someone today, because just as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it." Amen. and to our Run for Christ Ministries family. We know we're not together physically, but we are and always will be together in spirit. And as the Lord said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth, wait a minute, if I could read, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, there we go, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And we know that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit have come together this morning to participate in our Sunday morning worship service. And so we thank God in advance for all of our answered prayers. Amen? Amen. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he has to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Okay? That's huge. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death, the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. So your devotional for today, The Service of Motherhood by Dr. Charles Stanley. Children are a blessing from the Lord, and that's Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Motherhood is a great honor and privilege, yet it is also synonymous with servanthood. Every day, women are called upon to selflessly meet the needs of their families, whether they are awake at night nursing a baby, spending their time and money on less than grateful teenagers, or preparing meals, moms continuously put others before themselves. Sometimes this constant serving can be exhausting and even discouraging, particularly for a first-time mother. But you can take real encouragement from Jesus. One of the best examples of gracious servanthood is found in John chapter 13, verses 3 through 16. By kneeling to wash his disciples' feet, the Lord showed that the key to true leadership is humility, and it is humility that leads to eternal reward. Unless you are willing to stoop down and get your hands dirty, you will miss the real riches of motherhood. By dying to your own desires and pouring your life into someone else, you become like Christ and create a godly legacy that will carry on for generations to come. What greater blessing could one hope for? Of course, the motivation for serving others is not to reap benefits, but when we follow God's plan for our life, that's what happens. In giving us children, God places us in a position of both leadership and service. He calls us to give up our lives for someone else's sake, to abandon our own desires and put our child's interests first. Yet, according to his perfect design, it is through this selflessness that we can become truly fulfilled. Amen. Amen. So Pastor and Mrs. Overall, along with Run for Christ Ministries, would like to wish all mothers around the world and listeners a very happy Mother's Day. And we especially would like to wish our very own mothers at Running for Christ Ministries a blessed Mother's Day. And we send our love to all of our mothers on the move. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you. Couldn't have done it any gooder.
Absolutely. Any gooder. No gooder than that.
Happy Mother's Day. I was commanded. I was commanded.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Be well and
you're
be blessed
welcome.
In the day.
Yes. Amen.
On this
amen.
Morning.
Thank you all. On
I mean, this
morning,
afternoon.
Amen. Afternoon. Amen.
Bye, Crystal.
Bye.
Amen. Janine, you get us all messed up. This is pretty much all your fault, so that's our story. So give us some words of wisdom and a prayer, and we'll be all right.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for everything that is going forth today, from the scripture reading, from the prayers, everyone involved in today's service. We thank you. And Lord, as mothers, we don't get an instruction book, so mothers make mistakes, and I just pray right now that any broken relationship between mother and child, that they be mended, that there would be forgiveness, because no mother is perfect, no child is perfect, but we need each other. We need to bridge those gaps, and for those who are missing their mothers, I pray that you will be the embodiment of the best parts of your mother. The best parts of your mother live in you, and that is how you keep your mother's legacy alive. And I pray that God will give us wisdom in those areas to be the best we can be, to forgive ourselves when we fall short, to forgive others when they fall short, and to mend all relationships that are broken or shattered or even just blemished a little bit. Lord, heal relationships, heal your people, heal caregivers, heal the stand-in moms, those who stepped up, and the biological moms, stepmoms, everyone who takes care of people in whatever capacity. Lord, give us strength. Lord, bless us as we go through this week. Go before us, prepare the way, watch over us, keep us in your care, provide for us, keep us safe. Give us the wisdom that we need to see what's coming and to make the right decisions. And, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we'll be sure to give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Appreciate you. And don't forget to hug the grands and the daughters and everybody else. Amen.
Yes.
God bless you, Janine.
Bless
Amen.
You.
So, such a humble spirit, and I thank God for her. Remind me a whole lot of June Rogers. Amen. Very, very modest. Amen. But God has placed a whole lot on the inside, and I thank him for that because we get to enjoy it when it comes out. Amen. Here's what I want you to do. I want everybody listening to me right now. Oh, wait a minute. First, I have to do something. I want to shout out to the people in Canada, the Philippines, the Sudan, Brazil, North and South Sudan, and the Republic of Congo, and Sierra Leone. All those folks listening to us over in Africa, in the UK, and everywhere else. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. I don't want to forget you. And all of those folks listening all across the United States, amen. Here's what I want you all to do wherever you are on the planet. I want you to go to our Blog Talk Radio show page, and to get there, go to our church website and just click on any Bible class. Click on the Bible class page. Click that link. It'll take you to the show page. And I want you to share today's service with everybody you know. Amen. So when I go to Facebook, I ought to see this service at least 100 times. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he make his face to shine on you and give you peace. Till we all meet again. This one for you, Crystal. Keep it in.
what you did, and you took up for me when everyone was down on me. You always did understand.